Be a lot of fabulous music from our bell choirs, our chancel choir, praise band, I think some solos. There's a lot of music going on that day. So please come, bring your friends. Thanks.
Thank you, Nathan. Wonderful opportunity in worship, November 16th. Next, I'm going to hand things to Denise Link, who's a member of our missions team, with an announcement about a food drive.
Good morning. The young lady you see in this picture is my daughter, Abby, and she lives in Portland, Oregon, and she's standing outside a mobile food pantry truck in her community. And she sent this picture to me on Monday with a text that said, "Mom, is the church doing anything to help feed the hungry people right now?" And I said, "Well, we have Sunday Friendship Lunch, and we used to do this brown bag thing in November where we filled bags with non-perishable foods, toiletries, soaps, you name it." And she inspired me. And so I got busy on Tuesday, and ladies and gentlemen, the brown bags are back. And I'm calling it, me personally, the Abby Initiative. So we will be collecting these bags. Please take one or two home. The ushers will have them in the narthex. We've got some in the parlor. We've got some at the desk by the offices. And so this will go through November 20th. And on the 21st of November, we'll be taking these bags to the West Midland Family Center to help stock their food pantry, as they are truly in need. So if you find it in your heart and your pocketbook, please pick up a bag and help us out. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Denise. And thank you to Abby. It's exciting to be part of a church wherein somebody can call me up and say, "Let's do this." And they want to do it, and good can happen through it. So look forward to that. Also want to highlight two announcements myself. One is regarding next Sunday, our day of service or rice packing event. This is November 9th. Our worship this day will center on sharing joyfully as United Methodists. So on this day, we'll pack 24,000 meals, and it is a lot. And we will be engaging in several other mission projects for those whose age or physical conditions make rice packing difficult. We'll have an abbreviated service next Sunday at 9 a.m., so please make note of that time change as well. And the rest of the day's schedule is in your bulletin today. So invite us to join one another that morning to serving side by side on our day of service. Finally, for today is Loyalty Sunday. So in addition to coming forward during our Holy Communion as an act of gratitude and commitment to sharing in God's work in the coming year, we'll also, following worship, have a brunch where everyone is invited to celebrate in the fellowship hall, which is directly underneath the sanctuary, and this brunch is being hosted by our worship team. This is meant to be a joyous time as a way for us to connect with one another and to express our appreciation for you, for all the ways that you are sharing in the work of the church. Yes, through your financial giving, but also living into our commitment to one another, to share in our prayers, our presence, our gifts, service, and witness as a church. And so perhaps you weren't planning on it, but encourage you to head downstairs, share in that time together, get to know one another who you might not know here at the church, and just celebrate being the church. Again, that's following worship in the fellowship hall. With all this, I'm going to direct your attention to our bulletin and to our e-blast, where you might stay in tune with what we are doing as a church, but more importantly, what God is doing through us as a church.
Please remain standing as you are able for the call to worship. You are righteous, O Lord, and your judgments are right. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your woes, words. Excuse me. Your righteousness is everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth.
I invite you to remain standing as you are able and to join one another in our opening hymn, For the Healing of the Nations. You'll find this on page 428 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Why do you think I have a rake, Katie?
Oh, farmer.
I'm a farmer. I could be a farmer today. Our church is doing an outreach today.
Scarecrow?
I could be a scarecrow. I might be a scarecrow. I'm going to be a scarecrow and go somewhere today. I'm going to go help rake some leaves today, help some of our community members in need. I'm going to join. So you're all welcome to come and join in if you want to. I know. Isn't that cool? Good morning. Have you ever met somebody who's left an impression on you guys? It could be a teacher, it could be a coach, and you think, oh my goodness, they make you feel special, caring. Today in Sunday school, we're going to continue to discuss the Gospel of Luke. He shares one of my favorite stories about how meeting Jesus changes our lives. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man comes to seek out and to save the lost." All right, let us pray. You ready, Owen? We thank you, Lord, for this blessed day. We thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful children. And amongst our time change, we're all here worshiping you. We pray for you to open up our ears and help us to listen to your word as we explore Luke. Amen. Let's go to Sunday school, guys.
Now we come to a time of offering. But there are lots of ways that we offer our gifts to the Lord. And what a beautiful musical offering we had this morning. And so as the ushers are coming forward, I would invite you to sign the red friendship pads in your pews, to pass them down, and get to know your neighbors sitting next to you if you don't know them already. And then to reflect on the ways that God has blessed you this week. Will the ushers please come forward? God, we thank you so much for these gifts. We know that all that we have to give is all that we have already been given from you. Lord, bless these gifts. Be glorified in their use, that they may build up your kingdom. We love you, God, and we thank you so much. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Listen to what the Lord is saying. Stand up and state your case against me. Let the mountains and the hills be called to witness your complaints. And now, O mountains, listen to the Lord's complaint. He has a case against his people. He will bring charges against Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? What have I done to make you tired of me? Answer me, for I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to help you. Don't you remember, my people, how King Balak of Moab tried to have you cursed, and how Balaam, son of Beor, blessed you instead? And remember your journey from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, when I, the Lord, did everything I could to teach you about my faithfulness. What can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No. O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you are familiar with the name Paul Tudor Jones? Any? Paul Tudor Jones? I imagine if you were, you may have an interest or knowledge in investments. For indeed, one of the accomplishments that Paul Tudor Jones is known for are the gains he made in the stock market on October 19th, 1987. As the Dow Jones Industrial Average took one of its greatest dives ever, percentage-wise, Paul Tudor Jones tripled his investment portfolio. Jones reportedly made over $100 million on what is otherwise known as Black Monday. Jones is also known for his philanthropy. In 1986, he invested himself in an underperforming sixth grade class in New York City. Despite promising a college scholarship to everyone in this class who graduated high school, only a third of the students earned their high school diploma. Jones had underestimated the environmental challenges these students face. However, this stumble out of the gate did not deter him. Choosing to battle poverty, Paul Tudor Jones established the Robin Hood Foundation. And to date, the foundation has invested nearly $3 billion, $3 billion in programs and initiatives to fight poverty. Talk about a God-sized dream. But we'll get back to Jones and his story later. Today, here at the church, on this Loyalty Sunday, we're wrapping up a 3-week stewardship campaign. If you've been able to join us in worship over the last couple of Sundays, you might recall that the theme for this year's campaign is our denomination's, or the United Methodist Church's, new vision statement. I invite you to say it with me here this morning. The United Methodist Church forms disciples of Jesus Christ who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in local communities and worldwide connections. Now, to be honest, that was better than I expected. But I know that we've all had an extra hour of sleep, perhaps. I know we have a beautiful Monday or Sunday morning that we are gathering. So I invite you to say this new vision statement with a little bit more fire in our bellies. For indeed, this is who we say we want to be as United Methodists and as the church. And so I invite you to envision who we might be once again with our new vision statement with a little more fire, all right? The United Methodist Church forms disciples of Jesus Christ who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in local communities and worldwide connections. So indeed, as we are considering what we will give in the coming year through the church, yes, financially, but once again, through our prayers, through our presence here, through our gifts, through our service and witness, we're all considering what it will look like to be this as United Methodists, as a church. What would it look like to love boldly, to serve joyfully? And today we consider, what does it look like to lead courageously? For our scripture reading today, we turn to the Old Testament, Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. If you're a fan of courtroom dramas on the television or in the movies, this is the Bible passage for you. In this courtroom here in chapter 6, the prophet Micah presents God as the plaintiff, God's people, or the people of Israel, as the defendant, and the mountains, the hills, and indeed the very enduring foundations of the earth sit as the judges. For God has a controversy, as it's translated in the NRSV, or God has a case against his people. If you happen to have your Bibles open, we are made aware of God's arguments in verses 3 through 5. God names his faithfulness in leading his people out of Egypt. God names being faithful in blessing them through Balaam and in delivering them to the land God has promised. Indeed, here God presents a convincing argument that God is good all the time. In the ensuing verses 6 through 7, God's people, represented by the voice of an individual, responds to God's charges against them. In a revealing way, they go to the extreme as to what they might offer as a sacrifice, that God's people might offer thousands of rams, or 10,000 rivers of olive oil, that they might even sacrifice their firstborn, all as a way of making up for their sin. And as with all great court dramas, there's a twist in the proceedings here, where God has named God's faithfulness, where God's people has said, well, we will offer you this, but going to an extreme, there's a twist here. The climactic twist is how God responds in return in verse 8. For instead of a pronouncement of a verdict or sentencing for their unfaithfulness, what God delivers is more of a prescription. It's here that God shares through the prophet Micah what one Sunday school teacher has called the golden text of the Old Testament. It is here that our courtroom narrator says, he has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Indeed, to stand for what is right these days requires courageous leadership, as does loving kindness and in walking humbly with one's God. Such character and values are upstream to the prevailing currents of today, where might makes what? Right. Where kindness is often understood as weakness. And there's less and less room in today's marketplace for humility. So what would it look like as United Methodists and as members of this congregation to lead courageously? What would it look like for us to lead courageously in our lives or in the church or in our community? Whose voices need to be heard? Who do we need to make room for at God's table, where they might feel welcome? Who is the stranger, the neighbor, the widow, the orphan, the foreigner, that needs to be welcomed in? And perhaps even more so for our purposes today, it's worth asking ourselves, why commit ourselves to doing so? Why commit ourselves to doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with our God? You still remember the name I introduced to you at the start of the sermon? Paul Tudor Jones, right? The investor who tripled his money, his investments, back in 1987 on a horrific day in the stock market. Who has given $3 billion to fight poverty in New York City. Well, Mark Batterson, the lead pastor and visionary of National Community Church in Washington, D.C., mentioned Jones's story in his book, Chase the Lion. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. Taking a step in courageous leadership, Erica Hall, the church's administrative services and HR director, one day stepped into my office and introduced me to this book. And I think it takes a little bit of courage on the part of Erica to do so, knowing how full my plate is, to suggest you might want to read this book. And if you were at last Sunday's town hall, you may remember me mentioning this book at the gathering as well. So in telling Jones's story, Mark Batterson writes that the driving engine of Tudor's life is one act of kindness. That the driving engine in this individual's life is one act of kindness. In saying this, Batterson quotes Jones's telling of his own story and of a time when, as a four-year-old, Paul got lost at an outdoor market from his mother. And quoting Jones, Batterson writes, "When you're 4 years old, your mother is everything." And this extraordinarily kind, very old, very tall black man came over and said, "Don't worry. We're going to find your mama. Don't cry. We're going to find her. You're going to be happy in a minute." So Paul goes on to say, you never forget stuff like that. God's every action, those little actions become so much bigger, and then they become multiplicative. We forget how important the small actions can be. For me, I think it kind of spawned a lifetime of trying to always repay that kindness. End quote. And so why lead courageously? As a church, as followers of Jesus Christ, as one walking this path that we are on, why lead courageously? Why align ourselves with what is right? Why make kindness our leading edge? Why assert your faith in God with humility? Because in doing so, we give what we give into the hands of a God whose grace is a multiplier. And that's why we go to the store and place items in a bag that will stock a food pantry. And that's why we join other church members in raking leaves for those in our community or those who are in the church who can't do so. That's why we bring items to the church so that members might roll a rickety cart out to a blessing box in the parking lot and place items there, and inspire other members of the community to do the same. We give what we give into the hands of a God whose grace is a multiplier. So as God's people today, let us join one another in our giving back to God by loving boldly, sharing joyfully, and leading courageously. Amen. As we pray with one another, we do extend our sympathies today to the family and friends of Dr. Gary Smith, a former member of our congregation, husband of Sandy, and father of Heather Lunt, Sarah Winslow, and Adam Smith, who passed away on October 31st, 2025. So this past Friday. The Smiths were longtime members of our congregation. Upon his retirement as a long-standing family physician in our community, Gary found joy in volunteering at the church, which included his involvement in the update to our church's Schrader Memorial Gardens. And so I invite us to remember Gary and Sandy and their family as we pray. Let us pray. God, we gather and worship today because you are good. Because your goodness shines through in all the seasons of our life. Whether we find ourselves on top of life's mountain or walking through a valley, we see your goodness on beautiful days like this morning. And even when the sun is clouded over, we see your goodness, O God, when we find what it is needed to love boldly, to serve joyfully, and to lead courageously. And Lord, sometimes we know how to do that in the very moment. And at times, oh Lord, we acknowledge that there are times when we do not, or that we fail to act. In all these times, oh God, we put our trust in you, knowing that what we give is multiplied through your grace. And so, Lord, as we come forward this morning as a way of committing our giving in the coming year, help us to imagine all that you are doing. Help us to hear where you are calling us, and help us to give with expectant hearts. Bless, O God, what we commit to you through our prayers, our presence, through our gifts, our service, and our witness, that others might know of you. And as we do, O Lord, we give you thanks for one another, and for the opportunity to walk this life and to walk this journey, and to share as part of your church. And as we gather together today, O Lord, we do lift up the family of Gary Smith. We thank you for how he and his family has been a part of the church's story, the church's faithfulness to you. We celebrate your grace in Gary's life and all the good that he did through his work and through the church. And we pray for your blessings upon Sandy, Heather, Sarah, and Adam and their family. Comfort them with your presence. Assure them of your grace. We pray all this as your church this day, all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare to share in the sacred moments of Holy Communion, I want to remind you that as a United Methodist Church, we practice an open table. And so you need not be a member of this church or any other church to share in communion today. We simply ask that if you partake in communion, that you have your heart, your mind, your spirit open to this grace that we've been talking about, this love that we've been talking about. I want to invite you to turn to page 12 in the hymnal, or also your portion or responses in our preparations will be on the screen in front of you. After sharing in our liturgy, our readings, and our prayers, we invite you to come forward using the center aisle and returning to the side aisles. With today being Loyalty Sunday, if you have chosen to share an estimate of your financial giving to the church in the coming year, we invite you to bring it forward and place it in the basket in front of you. Perhaps you have already sent it into the church office. Perhaps you plan to share that later, or perhaps you find yourself in a season where it's not possible to give financially to the church. We still invite you to come forward and encourage you to touch the basket as a sign of your commitment of giving to God in the coming year. This Sunday's sermon was a reminder of what God can do through the very simple acts of our day-to-day lives. And so I invite you, if you wish, to touch the basket as a sign of your commitment to what you will give to God in the coming year. Also, we're mindful that as a church, today is All Saints Sunday. Many of our churches are celebrating this day as a reminder of those who have gone before us. And so we might be mindful of the commitment of our saints, of those who have gone before us and have given faithfully through their lives into the work of the church and the building of God's kingdom. So I invite us now to prepare our hearts and minds to receive this grace of God. Indeed, I remind you that Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God. We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us take these next few moments of silence to confess our sins to God. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, proving God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave it to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ, and the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the suffering of Christ. As we come forward for communion this morning, indeed I invite you to come and receive this grace that God has poured out for us. And at the same time, I invite you to come forward, committing what you will give, believing that God is doing a good thing, believing that God is multiplying what we give, allowing us to love and share and lead in ways that are multiplied. I'm going to invite those who are coming forward to help share communion to come at this time.
When I fall, see? Now the silence, now the peace, now the empty hands uplifted, now the kneeling, now the plea, now the Father's arms in welcome, now the hearing, now the
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand for our closing hymn today. You can find it in your Faith We Sing, the smaller hymnal in your pews, number 2182, When God Restored Our Common Life. Verse 1.
when God restored our common life, our hope, our liberty. At first it seemed
Today is our Loyalty Sunday, and we are committing what we might give to God in the coming year. And as we do so, I want you to go back to the start of our service when Denise shared about a text message that Abby sent her. If you're like me, you might be reading the headlines and being overwhelmed with the food insecurity that many in our nation might be facing. And I don't have the solution, but I'm believing in what God is doing here through a simple text message to her mom. I love that Abby still believes moms have capes. And says, what is the church doing? And so on the way out, you're given the opportunity to pick up a bag. And I know that some of us might not be in a position to fill that bag, and that's all right. But some of us might choose to do so. And it could just be a bag that you fill up with a few cans and a few items, and that's what it is. Or it could be setting that in God's hand and believing in this God who has a multiplying kind of grace where need shows up. And so I invite us as the church in the coming year to love boldly. We're going to share how? Joyfully. And we will lead courageously. Amen? Amen. Amen.